It's been 3 years since the government bailed out our banks. Have things improved?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning. From APM American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Adrienne Hill, in for Jeremy Hobson. A look at business and the economy as Wall Street starts the day. Coming up, we'll take a look at the health of our financial institutions here in the U.S. But first, where's Wall Street? The Dow is down about 55 points to 10,857. The Nasdaq is off nearly a percentage point. The S&P is down 6 points. Overseas markets are also glum today on news that Greece's deficit problem is, well, still a problem. The country won't meet its deficit goals. The government is now planning to lay off 30,000 employees. European finance ministers are meeting today to discuss bailout options. Here in the U.S., it's the third anniversary of our own bailout, the Troubled Asset Relief Program, which got us wondering just how stable is our financial system today. For that, we turn to Julia Coronado, chief economist for North America at BNP Paribas in New York. She joins us now live. Good morning, Julia.
Good morning.
So TARP was controversial at the time. We're now 3 years out. How healthy are the U.S. financial institutions right now?
Well, they've definitely come a long way since 2008. They have done a lot of capital restoration and working through the losses from the mortgage crisis. So they're definitely at much lower levels of debt and much higher levels of capital. I think right now the concerns that we're seeing in the market revolve more around the global economy and what that means for future losses or delinquencies on the loans that they extend. And secondarily, in a world of a slower economy and tighter regulation, how are they going to be able to actually grow their revenue streams?
Now, is that need for a revenue stream the reason we're seeing these new bank fees from Bank of America, which is going to charge a $5 a month debit card fee, or Citibank charging new checking account fees?
Absolutely. If you think about, you know, years back where you used to pay a fee for your checking account, and that was also a world where we didn't really have debit cards. Then we went to a world with debit cards. Banks put these fees on. They earned a lot of their revenue that way, and then were able to entice customers with free checking. Now that that route of revenue has been closed off by regulation, now they're going to have to make their money some way or another. They're going to have to, you know, they provide a service. They need to charge a certain amount for that service in order to stay profitable and cover their costs. So I think we are headed to a world with higher banking fees.
Julia Coronado is chief economist for North America at BNP Paribas. Thanks.
It's my pleasure.
Today marks the start of New York's Advertising Week, where some new marketing powerhouses will headline events. Google, Facebook, and Yahoo are seen as Silicon Valley phenoms. And digital advertise soars. Madison Avenue is becoming a second home. Sally Herships has more.
Yahoo's new offices in Times Square have white leather couches, purple lights, and floor-to-ceiling windows overlooking Midtown Manhattan.
This is really more kind of a lofty look, which is more like an agency on Madison Avenue.
Wayne Powers runs Yahoo's North American ad sales. He says raising Yahoo's profile in New York's advertising market is critical. Yahoo moved into its new space about 6 weeks ago. Twitter is shopping around, and Google has claimed an entire city block for itself. But getting in is vital to woo internet-wary clients. So says Patty McWilliams. She teaches marketing at Wharton.
A lot of these traditional advertisers still find all this stuff to be a little newfangled.
But new media's profit model is a classic.
They may be delivering new fashion tools and allowing consumers to connect in ways that maybe they couldn't as well before, but they're making money in a pretty old-fashioned kind of way.
Selling ads. In New York, I'm Sally Herships for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Chevrolet, maker of the new Volt, which plugs in anywhere and goes everywhere. Available in select markets. Details at ChevyVolt.com. By CenturyLink, a new kind of broadband company linking Americans coast to coast with consistently fast speeds and personal service. More at CenturyLink.com. And by Reputation.com, monitoring, protecting, and improving reputations online while deleting personal data from the internet. Reputation.com.
Today, growers of pistachios are voting on whether to increase industry oversight. The thinking is that it can make those little green nuts more attractive to overseas importers and expand the market for pistachios abroad. Jennifer Collins reports.
Horizon Nut Company in California's Central Valley hulls, cleans, and sorts almost 10% of the U.S. pistachio crop every year.
What we're looking for is an unstained, as bright a white or cream-colored shell as possible.
J.D. Franklin is the head of operations. Every so often, he does his own quality control checks.
Heavenly!
That heavenly taste can take at least 6 years. But when the trees mature, they produce for decades. Jim Zion of a grower cooperative says that's attracted unlikely financial backers.
The stock market obviously is not a place to go, and so you have seen some retirement funds coming in.
And partly that's because
the return on pistachios has been quite good.
Bob Klein oversees pistachio production in the U.S. By some accounts, investors can triple their money in 20 years. Klein says those returns have created a nutty situation with the largest processor in the industry, Paramount Farms. Maybe you've heard its tagline.
Get cracking.
Klein says Paramount split from a trade group a few years ago over marketing disagreements.
The large processor said, well, we pay the bulk of the assessments, so we should have more say than we currently have.
Now, Paramount pays the bulk of the advertising, reportedly $30 million a year. This fall, the smaller producers ramp up their own campaign. They spend about $5 million on promotions here and overseas.
Each side would say that the other ones are irrational and illogical.
But Klein says that rivalry may be a good thing in the long run.
Anything that puts pistachios in people's minds will make them more likely to buy.
And with the crop potentially doubling in a few years, he says there's about to be a lot more pistachios for people to buy. I'm Jennifer Collins for Marketplace.
Ever wondered what a pistachio farm looks like? Jennifer has photos on our website. That's at marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Adrienne Hill. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
If spare parts are rare but natural resources aren't, you adapt.
The customer just brings it here, and we make the part here, and then he'll take it and put it back in his car, and the car keeps on working.
I'm Kai Rizdahl, the wonders of wood. Next time on Marketplace, we'll have the day's business news for you as well. It's from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.